Last week, something unique happened in our world, happened in a faraway country. It was actually the culmination of 9 years of a metal cup. It was a story of a young lady who had found her faith in Christ, and out of that faith, determined to cross the line, never to turn back. For Asia Bibi, the only challenge was she was born in Pakistan, and in that country, not all are favorable towards those who turn their hearts toward Jesus. And yet, the reality is that she crossed the line never to return back. She found herself in June 2009, working and picking berries in her village there in Pakistan. And in the midst of all the berry picking, someone asked her if she would to go pick up some water out of the well. And as she was walking by the well, she saw a cup laying on the ground just like that. And seeing that cup, she realized that if she could have a drink of water, she could pick berries quicker, and she could accomplish more. So she picked up that metal cup, and it was an old rugged cup that had been around for a long time. And she picked up that cup and put some water in, and she drank it. And as she drank it, one of her neighbors looked at her and said, "You have picked up the cup that is connected to our religion, and you're not, it's forbidden for you to touch that cup." And then she began, that neighbor began to curse her faith, curse her Savior. And as Asia heard all this, she looked at her and she said to her, "Why should I choose to convert to your religion? My Savior died for me. Jesus died for me. I live for Him." Well, you can imagine she thought nothing of that. Little did she know that 5 days later, her and her family, her husband and five children, would all be beaten brutally. From that moment, they took and put her on trial. And for Asia Bibi, it was a trial, as you can imagine, it was rigged from the beginning. And the trial was all set in motion to create for her the opportunity to be hanged. And so, in the midst of the trial, obviously, it was just one cup. It was just one small expression of a thirsty young mom who was working in the field picking berries. But for that religion, it was an indictment that created a response that shocked the world. For the last nine years, she's lived in solitary confinement, seldom ever seeing anyone, seldom ever hearing from her family. But something unique happened this week. Because in the midst of all that she had been through, people have been praying for her. As a part of the persecuted church in the world, people have been praying for her all over the world. And their prayers got through. Even though the governor of the state in which she lived was murdered for moving that she be released, even though the person who was the minister in the government who was trying to change the laws to allow each person to celebrate their own religion the way they choose to was also murdered, and yet, the Supreme Court in Pakistan recognized that a cup should not cost a life. And so they declared her innocent. And out of that came the crisis and the chaos inside of that land for a number of days. But if you were to read her story, it all began with a cup because she crossed the line and believed in Jesus. She said to the neighbor that not only would I not walk away from my faith, she looked at her neighbor and said, "What has your prophet done for you?" Well, you can imagine she was crossing a line never to return to the safety that she had before that. She had made a choice, and I want you to think about this. She completely surrendered to what the hope and love of God is all about. And today as we look at that, I want us to think about what transpires with Paul's life. You see, at one point, he's on a Damascus road. And on that road, he hears a voice he's never heard before. Before that, he was a source of persecution and pain and difficulty. And for the 2.5 million Christians who live in Pakistan, predominantly dominated by another religion, it's a difficult day for all of them who claim his name. But it's interesting, everyone I've heard from in Pakistan stands true to his name because they surrendered to Jesus, to live for him and with him forever. So in Acts chapter 15, beginning verse 36, you see something transpire. And I want you to look at this text with me, because today I want us to think about it. In fact, I'm going to leave this cup right here, because I want you to think about even a cup of cold water in my name. That's what Jesus said, would turn someone towards what faith could do. And so today, as you think about that, and as we look at this idea of surrender, in the book of Acts, we obviously have the story of the church in motion. And I want you to think about, in light of that, what does surrender look like for you? Because what it amounts to is, as you cross this line and you pick up that cup, you never put that cup back down. You carry that cup forward to be able to express who you are and how you live and what you believe. And so for Paul, as he was transformed and ends up in his missionary journey to make a difference, it's interesting because by the time you get to chapter 15, verse 36, he says to those who are his cohorts, let's do this. Look at that. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Can you imagine? Here's what he said. Let's go back to the place where we surrendered ourselves the first time to see you do amazing things again and again and again, because we want to know how they are. And it's the same kind of concept you and I get in our mind when someone we love, we encounter, and they ask, how are you? And you're able to express yourself in a powerful way because of he who's working inside of you is greater than anything the world could ever throw at you. But look on, though. Look at Acts chapter 16. We took a moment to glance at this last Sunday. Verse 9. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So putting out to sea from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and on the day following to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi. Now make note of that, because this is where things begin to get very exciting, okay? Look on. And which was a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, and we were staying in this city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabric, a worshiper of God. Notice these two phrases, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. I want you to imagine for a moment that all of a sudden you hear something, it opens your heart. In other words, instead of your heart being closed to something, it opens you up and you begin to think, wow, you know what? That's what I want to do in my life. That's what I want to accomplish. And for Lydia, think about this. She had been a seeker. I'm trying to find an answer, and then all of a sudden she starts listening to what they're saying, and she thinks, well, you know what? That's what I need in my heart more than anything. I want you to imagine what would happen today if all of us opened our hearts up and began to live in hope. Began to live in hope, and it's interesting because what does hope do? It causes us to recognize the source of the power in our lives. And I'm going to tell you what hope does. Hope transforms any life. Hope transforms any heart. I was reading the amazing story a couple weeks ago about a kid named Tyler Trent. He's a student at Purdue University, but he's been battling cancer for quite some time. Prior to Purdue playing Ohio State a few weeks ago, Tyler that week had been bedridden and had been overwhelmed by all kinds of sickness, and yet he had a hope. He had a hope that he would be able to go see what he knew was going to be a victory for Purdue. He was the only one in the stands probably that believed that. But in his frail body, he found himself in those stands. And it's interesting because after the game, they interviewed him, and he said, you know, everything I do to the glory of God. And as I was reading his words, I thought, what great expression. And then he quoted 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, and in which he obviously realized to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God. Let me tell you what hope does. Hope takes a cancer-ridden 21-year-old kid at Purdue University and gives him something to hang on to beyond the cancer that attacks his body. He has the hope of God, the source of all power at work in his life. But when we learn how to live in hope, something begins to happen inside of us. But for Paul, he knew something more, because he realized you can offer hope, but you also need to serve and love. And it's the very theme and the anchor of everything we're doing by way of our mission enterprise locally and abroad, everywhere, is to learn how to serve and love. And it's interesting because what does love do? Love causes us to recognize the reason for surrender. Because we surrender, watch this, we surrender what we love. We surrender to who we love. And what happens here is Paul brings to light that as he's watching this journey unfold, something begins to happen inside of him. And I want you to imagine, as we look at this text, I want you to imagine what happened when all of a sudden you start thinking about the word surrender in light of Scripture and in light of God's providence at work in our lives. Because it's interesting, when we learn how to surrender, something begins to happen inside of us. Because what is surrender all about? It's surrendering to the higher purpose of God's calling in our lives. I mean, surrender is all about seeing Him at work and surrendering to that calling and saying, Lord, I want you to use me. And it's interesting, His work is never tainted by human hand. He wants us to be involved in the kingdom. He wants us to be involved in impact. He wants us to be involved in sharing our faith. He wants us to be involved in giving hope. He wants us to extend love to people who are looking for love. He wants us to express what it is that matters the most. He wants us to give people the opportunity to hang on to something that will be everlasting. And that is why surrender is so key. And today, as you think about that, it's not easy to surrender, because surrender is opposite of what the flesh calls for, because the flesh calls for us to be in control. Surrender says God is in control. The flesh says that we should be able to make our own decision. The Spirit says this is the way, walk in it. What happens to each one of us is we need to stop and think about it. What does surrender look like for our life? What happens when we do surrender? And when you think about that, you begin to think, wait a minute now. It's an act of the heart then, because we're living in hope, we're serving in love, and all of a sudden we start seeing surrender in a different light. And I'm going to tell you what you're going to see in these verses we look at in chapter 16. Because they surrendered, they began to make an impact in Europe that transformed that part of the world, because people began to realize that Christ in them was the hope of glory, that it was the answer to everything they ever faced. So what does surrender do? Surrender allows us to make an act or take an action in our own hearts that changes the direction of our life. Because when we surrender, something begins to happen that is so powerful. I want you to imagine for a moment, you have the opportunity to make a very decisive choice. And you start processing that choice. And you begin to think, you know, now, wait a minute now. If I make that choice, what will be the consequence? If I make this choice, what will be the consequence? I want you to think about Asia Bibi again. She's in Pakistan. It's June 2009. She is working and laboring in the field picking berries. She's thirsty. But it's interesting, in her solitary confinement and all of the restrictions in which she encountered life, she never let go of the cup that changed her life forever. You know why? She has surrendered her heart to God, and it changed the direction of her life. It's not safe for her to move around Pakistan these days. She's in hiding. But I'm going to tell you this, she's not hidden from God, who loved her, watched over her, and allowed her to experience life. Now she'll have a chance to experience freedom, Lord willing. Pray her whole family gets out of that country. But the truth is, she picked up her cup. Now I want you to think about what would happen if you picked your cup up. So let's think about this. Look at, if you would, in Acts chapter 16 with me. Look at it beginning in verse 1. Notice what transpires. Paul came also to Derbe and to Lystra, and a disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was Greek. And he was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted this man to go with him. Now, I want you to stop and think about this for a second. Because here is the opportunity for Timothy to encounter life in a way he never dreamed possible, but he has to cross the line. He has to be willing to say, you know what, I surrender. And by the way, each one of us have to make that choice, that willful choice to surrender to him. And notice what happened. He goes on to say, he took him, he circumcised him because of the Jews who were in those parts, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, while they were passing through the cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily, more and more surrendering to Jesus. Verse 6, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian regions, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not permit them. And passing Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man of Macedonia standing, saying, come over here and help to Macedonia and help us. And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, when you read this, you realize that here's the unique story of the twists and turns of what an obedient life's all about, because some places that he wanted to go, he was not allowed to go. Some places he knew he needed to go, God took him straight to those places. And what I want you to think about today is that as we think about our lives, there are three very distinctive, bold statements that are made in this text that stand out to each one of us. The first one you'll find in verse 5. Notice what it says. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in number daily. So what happened? What transpired here, watch this, is the churches started getting stronger and they grew as they surrendered in their faith. In other words, they said yes to Jesus. They said yes to what it is that he wanted to do in their life. They said yes to what he wanted to accomplish through them. And the church began to get stronger and stronger. And that surrender opened the door to strength. And I'm going to tell you, when you think about the strength that came out of it, the strength came from that next person walking into that church. That strength came from that next encounter in which they found somebody who lived out their faith. I want you to imagine what happened. The church grows stronger because they surrendered in hope and love to accomplishing what only God could do. And I want you to imagine this for a moment. We have the same privilege, the same opportunity. As we surrender, our church grows stronger, more lives are impacted, we get more strengthened, we get to experience God the way he intended. And it's interesting because it's all about picking up our cup and saying, Lord, I don't ever want to let go of this. I was a little kid in my grandmother's home, first time I ever encountered a metal cup. And I don't know how many of you had that experience, but those old metal cups, they went by the wayside many years ago. And yet a few years later, I was in a restaurant and they were serving iced tea in these metal cups. And I thought, it reminded me of my grandmother's faith and my grandfather's faith. And as I watched that in that restaurant, I was reminded that you and I have a cup to pick up. We just had to pick it up and carry it forward and not let go of it. Hang on to it for dear life. So the churches were strengthened. And that's exactly what transpires here. But look on though, because then you see in verse 9, it says, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing and appealing to him and saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. It's interesting because here's what transpired. This vision comes from God. And it's a bold, bold encounter for them because this vision guides us. It guides our lives. When we hear God speak to our hearts and we know what it is he's trying to guide us to do, it guides us to supernatural impact. And that's exactly what he wants to do in each one of our lives. He gives us a vision to accomplish what only he can do through us. And when he gives us that vision, I mean, all of a sudden we realize, you know what, this is what he wants us to do with our lives. I can remember it so vividly when I sensed the Lord giving me a call to be a pastor. And I can remember it because many years have passed, but I still sense the same awareness of his presence when that call came into my heart and life. It's the same kind of awareness that has been a part of the story of my life as I think back about the different moments that he spoke to my heart very clearly. We don't know a lot about what transpires with this vision. Well, here's what we do know, that immediately when they heard this, they were going over there. Immediately, they realize, you know what? This is what God wants to do through me now. Pick up your cup. Pick up your cup and experience the vision God has for you. Watch this carefully. Put your cup down, you may not hear what he's saying. Pick your cup up, you may have to experience exactly what it is he has for you. You see, the truth is, Asia Bibi was a young lady when she crossed the line and said, I surrender. And even to this day, she still lives out that faith. What happens to each one of us if we get a vision that comes from God and it speaks to our hearts and lives and it changes the direction we're trying to go? It opens our hearts up to experiencing what he intended. It's just like Tyler Trent. Tyler Trent sitting at Purdue University battling cancer with a frail body, but with inside of him a desire to experience one more victory, one more moment, one more encounter. Purdue's already won more games than most people predicted they would. And there's no doubt it's probably the faith that one little kid sitting out there with that cancer-ridden body who still wants his team to win. Listen carefully. Jesus wants us to win, and he wants us to be on his team. The way we get on his team is we pick up our cup, and we say, Lord, we surrender to live in hope. We surrender to serve in love. And I want you to think about this. When you offer hope to someone, it changes how they live. Just a few weeks ago, we had a young man here who was from Thailand, a young pastor who's ministering there in prisons and stuff like that. And you probably recall Pastor Ed being here. But it's interesting because he had told me when he was here, he said, I'm going to be going into Laos. I'm going to go into other parts. And I got a message last night from him that he was there in Laos sharing the unsearchable riches of Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, I read his note, I thought to myself, he picked up his cup, never to put it down. And he takes it into the prisons that he finds himself in Myanmar. He takes it when he goes into Laos. He takes it as he goes to Vietnam. He takes it into Thailand. What about you and me? What about Norcross? What about Atlanta? What about Lilburn? What about the different places we live? What about taking this cup and letting people know that we live with a vision that changed our lives forever? Watch this carefully. When you and I allow him to speak to our hearts and lie, we allow him to transform the way we think. Our vision becomes real. It becomes energetic. It drives us towards something. What does our flesh say? Our flesh says, oh, you can't do that. You don't have that giftedness. You don't have that equipping. You don't have that capacity. You can't do that. And but what does God say? With me, all things are possible. All things. And I want you to imagine for a moment, you're sitting here and you're pondering which side of the line you want to be on. On one side is a lot of comfort because you know what? Everybody else on the other side taking care of business. On this side, you join the army that marches to the drumbeat of the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts and life. And I'm going to tell you, when you think about surrender, you don't want to be on the wrong side of the line. Because on the wrong side of the line, yes, you may have more comfort on this earth. But my, do you miss so much that God intended for you when you get to the other side. What does he want for each one of us? He wants us to surrender, watch this, so we get stronger. He wants us to surrender so we have a vision that comes from him. I'm going to tell you what's intriguing. When you get something that comes from him, nobody can stop it. No one can shut it down. No one can restrict it. God opens up the valve and it just flows. And it flows in an amazing way. I want you to imagine for a moment, you're sitting in church and you go, you know what? I got to cross that line. I've got to encounter him the way he intended. When you make that choice, something begins to happen inside of you because you pick up a cup. You pick up a cup and that cup says to you, I am going to live for him the rest of my life. There's a third very bold statement that transpires here. Look at it with me if you would in verse 14 because something happens with Lydia. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabric, a worshiper of God, was listening and the Lord opened her heart. I want you to get this in your mind because this is so bold. He opens the hearts of anyone. He opens the hearts of anyone willing to completely surrender. So you can imagine Lydia, she'd never even heard about the cup. She'd only heard about religion, and she was in pursuit of that. And Lydia gathered together, Lydia in all likelihood, affluent, blessed, connected to making money with her material and stuff like that. But it's interesting because that didn't fill her up. That didn't complete her. And listen carefully, what completes us, money could never buy. What completes us is surrendering and opening our hearts up to him. I want you to imagine for a moment that you have the privilege of being able to open yourself up, but you have to go beyond what you see. Because what you see, you may be looking at a cup is empty. The truth is that cup is always full. He fills it up. He fills you up. He fills up our encounter. But you imagine for a moment, you're sitting here and you're thinking, wait a minute now. So how did Paul look at things? What did he say? Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians for a moment. Turn, if you would, to the right, to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. But I want you to get in mind that as Paul is encountering what it is that God has for his life, what he intends to do, I want you to look at this text, and I want you to see, because in 1 Corinthians, he begins to challenge them to see something. And I think I may be taking my 2 Corinthians. Hang on here. I may have sent you the wrong book. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, all right? 1 Corinthians may take you places I don't want you to go. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to listen to Paul's words because this helps us see something. Because here's what I want you to get a hold of. When you live in hope and you serve in love, you begin to surrender to something that you don't have to see. You just have to believe. Look, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While, watch this, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What does Paul get across here to the Corinthian? Don't spend all your life looking at something and miss what it is you're supposed to see that's most important. Because what he says, it's not what your eyes see. It's what your heart sees. Look on in chapter 5 there. Look at what he says in verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, what's he trying to get across? It's not about you and me just getting this tangible thing we hang on to. The reason I use this cup today is to show you that a little young lady walking by, the mother of five, walking by a well who is thirsty, picks it up and takes a drink out of it. But you see, the truth of the matter, she's already drank out of the cup of living water that changed her life forever. And she picked that cup up and she realized that after a few days, she realized that the cup she'd picked up may seem bitter at the moment, but in time, it would show her purpose, show what it is God could do. And I'm going to tell you, when you look at the miracle of her being able to be free after all those years, confined to herself, but never alone, because what we don't see is Jesus made it clear, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't you love that thought? No matter what you're encountering, he will meet you right where you are. And that's what makes us come to the place where we go, you know what? I'll surrender. And my question for you is simply this. Will you surrender? Will you surrender what it is he wants to do through you? Because if you'll surrender, what'll happen? You'll just have to ask yourself, am I going to cross that line? For Asia Bibi, she crossed that line and picked up a cup that seemed bitter at the moment, but it seemed blessed in the end. And she lives to see another story unfold, and that is the story of what her faith has done for her. My question for you today is simply this. Will you step into experiencing what God has for you as well? That is the question of the moment. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. It speaks to our hearts and lives. I think about in this room, there could be men and women who need to surrender, who need to become a part of our family, who need to surrender to your purpose, who need to surrender to accomplishing what you intend for their life, need to surrender to experiencing all that you want to do inside of them. Lord, it's all about us saying, I surrender to you. We surrender all to you, Lord, because we realize that in that surrender, we begin to experience you in amazing and new ways. Lord, our cup that we hold is a story of someone who said, I'm crossing the line, never to return. May there be someone else here today who makes that same choice, who crosses that line and says, I'll never return to the old life. I choose to walk in a new life. I ask you, Lord, to do something amazing in these moments. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.